Hello everyone, it's Mark Fox here from Grapple Arcade, bringing you another episode of Hands Off the Merchandise. I'm joined today, again actually, by a friend of ours called Jason Anstis, who is part of the For the Love of Wrestling team. How are you doing, Jason?
Yeah, really good. Just got back from Liverpool Spurs, so yeah, very good.
Oh, right. What was the final score?
It was 2-1.
Really? Fantastic.
Yeah, really good. I was there with my mate Neil, who does... he's one of the volunteers on For the Love of Horror, one of the guys that runs their live TV show. So, yeah, really good day.
I've just ruined it because I'm a pool fan as well, but I've just ruined it for myself because I wanted to try and keep it until later on to watch a match of the day, too.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't worry. I'm the one who asked you. I couldn't help myself.
sound like a Liverpool fan.
I know, mate. Short story version of it is I've got a much older brother who's in, he's just about to turn 50, and he's into his, he's always been a Liverpool fan, and when I was growing up, I just kind of followed suit, if you like, so, yeah, fell down the track that way. I married a Scouse as well, so, you know, it all pulls together in the end. right, mate, so, I thought we'd start off by having a bit of a chat about WWE Superstar Sign event that's going on, I believe it's at the Bowlers Exhibition Centre on the 9th of November.
That's right.
How did that come about, man?
It's a conversation we've been having. Obviously, we've got a really, really good relationship and contact with WWE at the moment. So
sure.
We were chatting to them anyway about guests for April. And then the conversation turned to this tour and whether we'd be interested in doing a signing. So it was actually their idea. It was the contact that we speak to. It was his idea. He knew that Andy had a venue. Andy's the guy that owns For the Love of Wrestling, and he owns Bowlers, he owns For the Love of Horror, and a few other conventions, Comic Con Scotland, Liverpool, Manchester. So it just came about that way, really. So it was actually their idea to do this. So we kind of jumped at the chance straight away, and then conversations turned to which guests were available. I'll be honest, we're kind of just amazed with how well it's done, because we're always a little bit nervous with the time scale. We're so used to the Comic Con model where you're advertising something months out in advance, but you know, with this, we literally got it confirmed, about 2.5 weeks, something like that, before the actual event. So you're always nervous. Are there going to be enough, you know, is there going to be enough time for people to buy tickets? So we're going to be sort of left with, you've got to pay quite a little bit of money for it. So is it going to end up making a loss? But no, it's done fantastic. So yeah, really kind of overwhelmed with the response.
That's brilliant to hear. I mean, the names that you've announced as well are... dare I say, I suppose with things like these kind of events over in the UK, I think it's fair to say that fans don't expect to get the creme de la creme. When you go to book signings or when they're on tour, for example, and you can meet a WWE superstar in like Waterstones or in wherever it might be, you know?
You don't
always tend to get the sort of... Well, you don't know who to expect to get, but you don't expect to get the champions and people like that, for example. It doesn't necessarily... It's not always how it works when they come over to the UK.
Sure.
Some of the names that you guys have established for this event are unreal, dare I say. I think they're absolutely unreal. To start off with, we've got Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. I mean, you can't really get more crap than the crowd than Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. And they're also going to be meeting and greeting people as a duet as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think... And there's a few reasons why. Firstly, it's money. You know, being honest, that, you know, if you're going to get some of the bigger names, you've got to put more money up front. And, you know, so Andy, who owns Monopoly Events, who's sort of behind this, you know, he's not afraid to put a few quid up if he thinks something's going to work. So
indeed.
Put enough up to get the bigger names. And we were chatting for a while with WWE about who would be available, who wouldn't be available. And we were waiting, actually, for after the draft, because it was always going to be after the draft that we knew who was going to be on. I can't remember whether we... I think we get if we get the Raw or the SmackDown side, but it wasn't until that was completed that we would have known which talent was actually available. So, yeah, very exciting to get some of the names that we did. And then, I won't go into great detail because it gets a bit disrespectful, because they offered a certain ones, and then we weren't saying, no, but we'd like this one, we'd like that one. Actually, one dropped off. We were going to get at one point Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, but that fell apart. But I can't remember why, actually. I think Alexa couldn't do it. So, we sort of thought, well, there's no point in having just Nikki and half of a tag team. So, it was a conversation with WWE about which ones we could get. And that's where, fortunately, I do watch wrestling, whereas Andy doesn't. So I could kind of advise, you definitely want these. You definitely want Bray Wyatt.
Oh, indeed. But Bray Wyatt at the moment, let's be honest, absolutely on fire. So I think the idea that getting Bray in, I think it's fair to say, and I'm sure a lot of people might agree, if you Bray Wyatt now compared to Bray Wyatt 6 months ago when he wasn't really on TV, different people altogether. The fact that Bray Wyatt is now really is one of the focal points of the show, and that he's coming over to Manchester to do the meet and greet is unbelievable.
It's great, and it's funny actually, every single correspondence they have with us, it says in brackets after, as Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend.
Brilliant, that's unbelievable.
They want to be very clear that it's Bray Wyatt that's coming over, which is fine, you know, he's still, it's not like he only performs in a mask, is it? So.
Exactly, he's sinister enough.
Yeah. I'm really excited about that. Actually, I know the handler for him is going to be Jay, that I do the Love Wrestling Live show with. I think he's really excited about that, he's a huge fan, so yeah, we're really looking forward to meeting him.
Brilliant stuff. Obviously, we've got Sasha Banks has been announced as well, along with AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson, and you can obviously meet the group of the OC together. I mean, that's another cracking shout.
Yeah, really pleased with that one. Actually, I think it's one of a couple of double pictures. You mentioned Seth and Becky earlier, and then we're going to do Gallows and Anderson. We're only doing them as a tag team. We're not doing them as separates. It didn't really make too much sense to do them unless you've got a massive Festus fan out there as a single. So yeah, so we're doing them just as the double and with the as the OC with the triple as well.
Wonderful stuff. And then to top it all off, we've got Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, Ricochet, Bobby Lashley, and Drake Maverick. I mean, it's a pretty star-studded card, shall we say. Wait, I'm going to call it a card, because it is a card as far as I'm concerned. Indeed, exactly. And it sounds fantastic. And from what I can understand as well, there's going to be a couple of different opportunities. Is that right on the day? So you can either be part of the 9 o'clock crowd or the 1 o'clock crowd?
Yeah, so when we first announced it, it was going to be between 11 and 1. And then it became very apparent very quickly that lots of people were booking, you know, 4, 5, 6 different, you know, meet and greets, different autographs, different photographs. And that's a bit of a problem, because if you imagine when we count how many, say, for Becky Lynch or Seth Rollins, we count exactly how many we can get through in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So realistically, if someone's waiting in the queue for Becky Lynch, depending where they are in the queue, they're not going to be able to get that picture and then get another 4 or 5. It's just not going to happen. Unless you've got a diamond pass, you've just got no chance of doing that.
Sure.
So we, again, you know, it's WWE have just been so helpful with this. So we went back and said, can we split the timings? So they've agreed we're going to have 6 of them are going to come between 10 and 12. They're going to have a half-hour break. And then the other 6 are going to come between 12:30 and 2:30. So we're just finalising now who's where. But at least it means that people that have booked loads of these opportunities are going to have a much, much better chance to be able to get through everyone.
Sure.
And how we're going to do it, we're not really announced this yet, but the plan at the moment, we're going to have 3 separate photo areas, which is also going to double as a signing area. So in most cases, we'll have 2 in each area. So they will have Seth and Becky and 1. Seth will be taking his pictures. Becky will be doing her autographs. Then we'll flip it round, then we'll do the double. So we'll put the timings out later, but that's going to be the loosely the plan. We might even have to be a little bit fluid on the day, where if one guest has finished earlier, then we can use that photo area to, again, just to get through as many as possible. So we've got to do our best to try and get through all the people that have booked loads of these things and haven't bought a diamond pass.
Indeed. And I'm sure, as you mentioned before as well, there'll be a couple that have sold out already of them, eh?
6. So, the last count, 6 of the autographs have sold out. So, Sasha, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, and Bray Wyatt. Those autographs are gone. You can still get a send-in. So, we've posted that a couple of times. We're not going to take items in, so sometimes with these conventions, you do a send-in service where people can send you like belts, Funko Pops, pictures, DVDs, whatever they want to get signed, and we get it signed and posted back to them. We haven't really got time to do that this time, but we are taking send-outs, so people can contact us. We're going to get about 10 from each guest, so there are still a few left to buy.
Yeah.
As I said, but we would then actually post out to people. But those 6 on the day, they're pretty much sold out.
that sounds absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's great to see something like this, because I think a lot of people, their experience of meeting WWE superstars is, well, to be honest, apart from seeing them live, there isn't much opportunities to do so. Maybe apart from one or two who might be in a nearby city to where you live when they're on tour over here. So the idea to get a big group of them all together to be able to do a huge... Hello!
Oh, yeah, that's a baby. That's not...
Hello! the idea to get them all together to do a huge meet and greet like this is fantastic. And really, I think everybody's really looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's brilliant. And you know, amazing WWE that they want to do this. And a lot of people are asking us, are we going to do it again? I think we're just really doing this one as a bit of a trial. If it works, then absolutely. The WWE are back in May. So there's no doubt that if this works really well, we'll be looking to do it again. Potentially with, you know, members of some, because there's so many big names that, because as I say, like, I can't remember whether we're doing the Raw or the SmackDown side. I think we're doing the Raw side, but you know, you've got big names on the other side we could do. I'm sure the likes of Finn Balor, Charlotte Flair, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan. You know, there's so many other names that we could do. It would be, I'm sure if this goes well, and it has gone well so far, that this will happen again.
That's fantastic. Well, for all of the listeners out there who have tuned in, all you need to do is get onto fortheloveofwrestling.co.uk. Very self-explanatory once you get onto the website. Hyperlink straight away to the ticket area and Bob's your uncle. All sorted from that point. So fortheloveofwrestling.co.uk, which leads us on very nicely, mate, to For the Love of Wrestling number two.
Yes.
To say that we're excited again would be an understatement. Again, we're really, really looking forward to this one, pal. I mean, obviously, we'll be coming down as part of the Grapple Arcade team to be putting on some retro gaming goodness for all the attendees who will be there on the day. But, I mean, we've been keeping a close eye on the guests that have been announced, much like everybody else has. This time round's a bit different because we kind of know what the format is, if you like. We know what to expect on the day itself. I think the first time round, I think it's only fair to say that it all sounded fantastic, it all sounded brilliant, it all sounded wonderful leading up to the event, and everybody just hoped that, we really hope that the event goes well, and that everybody turns up, and et cetera, et cetera.
It happens, yeah.
Of course, and that's due to experiences that other people have had elsewhere. Now, everybody who went there for the Love of Wrestling number one knows exactly how well it was run, knows exactly what to expect, how brilliant the experience was, and know what's in store for them going into the second one. So I think the hype and the buzz is tenfold compared to the first one. And the names you guys have got as well are phenomenal, mate. How's it been? How's the planning been for this one, Jace?
Really exciting. Really, really exciting. It's just great going into something. You kind of covered it already, where people know that it's happening, where you don't have to cut through the people telling you that such and such isn't going to turn up, or you know, you're never going to get Sid there, or is this real? So a load of people messaging saying it's all a big con. I mean, I think now people have seen it happen. I mean, we've got so many wrestlers that contact us now and say, oh, I'd like to be on the show. And for, you know, a lifelong fan like myself, when you get some of those messages come through, it's just really, really exciting. Yeah. We were very keen to, I mean, just touching on Superstar signing again, just to give some kind of a nod to the people that have supported us with For the Love of Wrestling this year for the first show in April. That's why we did free entry for anyone that had already bought a ticket for the Love of Wrestling 2. We just wanted to give that kind of nod to people. And actually, funny enough, not everyone even knows about the Superstar signing. So some of the people that have found out about it through Facebook, through For the Love of Wrestling, through people like yourselves, I know you're a big supporter, as are Old School Wrestling, Europe's Home of Wrestling Belts, some of the other groups and pages that we tend to work with. They're the people that have probably bought opportunities, whereas half the wrestling fans in the country are going to find out about this when a lot of the opportunities are already sold out. So
we
really wanted to kind of do a nod to the people that supported us. I mean, we've already announced for the Love Wrestling 2 about, I think there's about 20 plus, maybe almost up to 25 names. We've got a load more that are coming. There's three more that are already signed. There's a lady that's signed up that we've had signed up for about 2 months that we just haven't released yet because we're just trying to put them out steadily.
Yeah.
We've got a chap who got signed up, got his agent, got in touch with us about a week ago, and we jumped at the chance. So he signed up, a bit of a golden era name. We've got a tag team that signed. We had half the tag team signed up again for a couple of months, but the second half of the tag team confirmed on the week last week, and they want to announce themselves. They're meeting up sometime in mid-November, so they're going to put a video out. So that'll be one of the few that we don't announce on the live show. That'll just appear at some point on social media, and we'll be like, "There you go, it's out." Then once it is, then we'll release it ourselves. That's a really big tag team too. That's an exciting one. And without mentioning the kind of names that will make people, they'll then have to be kind of beholden to it. There's about four or five big ones that we're speaking to WWE about, and it's just a case of getting. I'd like to get two of them, maybe three. If we can get some of them in, then you know there's at least one or two there that's just going to melt the internet. So, which there's only so many names that it could be. So, people have probably got a fair idea of some of the people that we're having a crack at. But if they come across, then yeah, it's gonna be known internationally. I think there'll be people coming all over the world to this show.
Well, in fairness, the people were travelling internationally for the first one, and I know that everybody who did attend. Every single person who've spoken about the event since, who've been on our show, who've been wherever they've been, including wrestlers, have all spoken very highly about their experience, whether it be from a fan's perspective, from a vendor's perspective, from an exhibitor such as myself and Grapple Arcade, and the wrestlers themselves. Every single wrestler we've spoken to directly after this, and the ones that we've seen online as well, who've mentioned it and tweeted online, have all said it was a fantastic experience, and they highly have appreciated what happened in terms of how they were treated, in terms of the interactions with the fans, about how professional it all was for everybody involved, including the experience for the fans. It's just a really positive experience all around for that first one, and I think that falls over very nicely into the second one, because you've already got wrestlers who haven't been to the first one, who are already speaking very highly about interactions so far. So we're going to go through some of the names, if that's all right, Jason, mate, because I'm excited by looking at some of these, and I've already got some ideas for my own cosplay for next year already when we turn up. But to start off with, Alundra Blaze. Oh, man. Alundra Blaze and Medusa, well, as Medusa or and Alundra Blaze. Fantastic name. I don't think she's been over here with either WCW or WWF in the past on two that I can remember. She might have been, but I can't remember off the top of my head. I never saw her when she came, like when they were travelling over here in sort of 95, 96 territory with either company. So that's a fantastic name. And she's very active online as well.
Yeah, she was one of the few that actually did interact with us. I think she commented on it or liked her own announcement on Twitter or Instagram. I can't remember which one it was, but I know she's kind of interacted with the post. I think that's a massive name. There are so many. Really, you look over the lineup, and obviously everyone is initially attracted to the Goldbergs and the Kurt Angles, but just that level beneath it, people like Alundra Blaze and Scott Steiner, I mean, people that collect wrestling belts, that must be a rare one for them. Getting Alundra on the on a women's championship is absolutely huge.
Definitely.
She was, you know, part of one of those iconic moments with the whole, you know, dropping the belt into the trash can. I think that's an absolutely huge name. That's probably slightly. And that's one of the things when you book so many names and so many wrestlers, sometimes there are some massive names that do slightly go under the radar. It's only when people look at the lineup in its entirety, they're like, oh my God, you've got so much already.
It's an incredible lineup so far. I'm drooling a bit looking through it here. I mean, the good thing is with the Alundra as well, you can go there as part of, you know, the belt collecting society. You could go there as part of a bin collecting society as well, I suppose. You know, you get, apart from Duke Drossi, I don't know who else you might have signing your bins, but but no, man, it's a cracking name, and you can tell she's really hyped for it as well, because like we've just been saying there, the interaction she's been having on social media with the fans about coming over has been top notch, and she's always very responsive. So I urge, and she does as well, anybody who's coming to For the Love of Wrestling, have a chat with her about it and explain how much you're looking forward to her coming over, because she seems to be very, very happy to have a bit crack with everybody.
I'm told that she's a really nice lady too, and someone that will actually interact with the fans, will have a good chat to them. I mean, look at some of the names. I mean, just in the female wrestlers that we've got, Trish Stratus, Tori Wilson, Victoria, Lillian Garcia, Medusa. I mean, this is massive in terms of the history of wrestling. These are some really, really critical names. I think that's, yeah, really fantastic.
Absolutely nailed it. I mean, it's difficult to get over the level and quantity, really, at times when you look at the list of people who you bring over. It can be a bit overwhelming when you're trying to think, right, I'm just going to check my wallet. I'm going to see how many people I'm going to fly. I probably only want to go and see about three. And you look at the actual list when it's all there in front of you and you think, okay, it's more than two or three who I want to see this year. And if there's nobody on that list who you think, oh, well, they're there. Because I know there was a few people who were following the groups last year who were assuming that it was going to be a lot of filler with a couple of headline names. Every single name is worthy of being at the event, and there's a lot of fans who are looking forward to seeing every name at the event as well. And that's what's a beauty about this. There's nobody there you think, oh, they're making up the numbers or anything like that. And again, not trying to sound disrespectful, just in the terms of the pecking order of life, really, when it comes to wrestling, there's nobody that you wouldn't want to be there. Everybody deserves to come over and be part of this, and every wrestling fan is looking forward to meeting everybody. I mean, for me personally, Barry Darso and Bill Eadie, oh, mate, the idea of meeting Demolition together. I'm going to come dressed as Mr. Fuji, just so you know.
Ah, nice, yeah.
and Pablo, who's the other part of our team, he's a slightly taller chap with long hair, so he's going to come as Crush. So we've got a four-way photo there with Demolition. Well, yeah, he doesn't know that yet. We'll see how it goes. But the fact that Barry Darso's coming over, so the options from that alone, you know, it's not just there's 22 people coming over here. There's multiple, when you think of their characters as well, of who they can potentially sign autographs of and take photos as. Barry Darso, for example, he's coming as Barry Darso, which means potentially he's happy to sign anything as Smash, as Repo Man, as Crusher, Kershev, as Blacktop Bully and Mr. Hole in One. Absolutely. And likewise, the Bleedy as well, as Axe Super Machine, Mass Superstar. There's just... that's the beauty of this kind of event, man. It's just there's so many options and characters on top of the names announced.
Yeah, it's a true... it's definitely one for proper wrestling fans, if you know what I mean. It's one for people that have been fans of that old-school era, the 80s, the 90s. It's even names that someone like, I don't know, you know, Tatanka. For someone like me, I remember Tonka at some of the WrestleManias. And like you said, there's just no one that doesn't have their place in wrestling history. Not everyone can be, and sometimes you put out an announcement and you're fully aware that we're going to get the Hulk Hogan gifts and everyone's just, you know, waiting for us to announce, you know, one of these massive names. But when you look at it in its totality, there's no one in the lineup that doesn't have that kind of like rightful place, I suppose.
Completely. I think, well, that's the beauty of this list. I mean, we'll get onto a couple of the names who might be more... yeah, you might want to class them as modern era, but generally speaking, everybody knows that they're coming to this event because it's to do with the history of wrestling, including the modern, but it's the history of wrestling going back to the 80s and before that even. A big sort of nod of the cap to the 90s for obvious reasons as part of that during the golden years. So we've said the Lundra Blaze there. I've got Barry Darso and Bill Eadie as part of Demolition. You've got Bill Goldberg. Yeah. I mean, Bill Goldberg's coming. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's someone we're working on for a long time, actually. We knew, I think it's a similar agent we actually got Kenny Omega from. So yeah. For a good while, we knew that one was coming, and it was getting sort of pretty close to happening. So yeah, really, really pleased with that. I mean, these are, I think... we've mentioned this a few times on our live show, but we've stopped using the term headliner purely because I think we started getting a bit hamstrung by it last year, and everyone was waiting to put the Saturday headliner because we'd mentioned it a few times. And so this time we don't use that term, but Bill Goldberg could be considered, you know, is a headliner type level of wrestler.
Of course.
Absolutely. One of the, you know, really one of the biggest names, to have one of the most incredible runs and still going. You know, this is a guy that's still getting massive responses. That I think when he wrestled Dolph Ziggler recently, I know he's fairly limited in terms of what he actually does for in match, but in terms of response, which is what it's really about, there's very few on the current roster that get a response still like Goldberg.
Definitely, definitely. And Well, just looking at the other names here, you've got Goldberg, you've got Earl Hebner, one of the most, probably the most famous referee of all time. I think it's fair to say, not just a referee, he's been part of some of the biggest angles in the history of wrestling as well. Yeah, everybody knows who Earl Hebner is. Exactly. Got Greg Valentine there. God, man, I've been a fan of Greg since the 80s. You've got Ken Shamrock there, who's a massive influence on me when I was getting into trying to start training as MMA as a youngster, actually. Mm. Ken was a massive influence on myself, and dare we say, the originator of the MMA crossover into WWE. I mean, he was the guy who went over to Japan in his early days and brought over the idea of pancreas to the US and to the Western market. And, you know, WWE signed him up in the 90s, and lo and behold, he's back wrestling again today.
Yeah, he's an impact, isn't he?
Indeed.
And he's still in amazing shape as well for a guy, I think he's in his 50s, isn't he? He looks absolutely shredded.
Incredible. He actually, a few weeks back, he put on a fantastic show down in Australia with Dan Severn in, I think it was like a no-holds-barred match. And that, if you can find it on the internet, everyone, it's seriously worth checking out. It's what a cracking match that is. Both of them go out at hammer and tong. And yeah, you can tell he just hasn't lost a beat either. Just fantastic shape and great character. I can't wait to meet him personally. Then you've got pretty much one of the current big names in wrestling in the modern era, being Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I was interested. We were really interested actually to see how that would be received, because it's a slight diversion for us. Firstly, obviously it's an AEW talent, and there was, you know, wrestling fans love to speculate, and because it was fairly well known that we had this close relationship with WWE, and there was lots of speculation online that it meant we wouldn't be able to have AEW talent. And then obviously we've been able to put out one of their very biggest names, the person that I think is going to become their champion. And I think he's the guy, I'm just guessing this, I'm not party to any booking, but I would suspect he's the guy that's going to take the title off Jericho at some point and carry it forward. I think he's the one they're really going to get behind at some point. Yeah. Just my opinion, I think probably some of those early losses he's had is so that he's got, once he's champion, he's got a load of ready-made challengers, because I think he's going to end up with a long run at the belt.
I agree completely.
But we thought, how is that going to go down? We knew that it was a big name for the hardcore fans, but it wasn't anyone from the Golden Era, and it wasn't someone who's ever wrestled for WWE before. In fact, at that point, had barely ever wrestled in America. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was quite interesting and amazing, really, to see the response that he got. A lot of people, we actually did a big build-up for him as well, that big kind of 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown. And we were slightly nervous, like, oh, we're over-egging this a bit, we're going to go all the way down, announce Kenny Omega, and you're going to get some people thinking, what the hell, that wasn't Hogan?
Yeah.
But no, people were really delighted with it. But to be fair, everything we ever do, you're always going to get the people like, why is that not Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, it's Hogan, Austin and Rock, pretty much. There's some people out there who only want Hogan, Austin and Rock.
Yeah.
Like 10 times each at the same show. Yeah. But they're very, very happy.
Never happen. The Rock is, you know, I mean, when, you know the Rock, you're talking $1 million plus a private plane, plus, you know, you've got to fit in the schedule of probably one of the busiest, you know, actors in the world, as well as the number one actor in the world. It just doesn't happen.
Exactly.
You like trying to get Vince McMahon.
Well, you never know the third one. But from Kenny there, you've got Kurt Angle, mate. Ah, Curdy boy. Now, for me, this is a fantastic announcement. With the All Out, obviously. But Kurt is... I'm a big fan of Kurt's from the sort of late 90s, early 2000s. As I'm sure many, many people come to this event will be. The beauty is with Kurt, he's got the crossover appeal to the modern day fans as well, who've been watching him on Raw and SmackDown and WWE over the last sort of best part of it, is it about a year and a half or so now he's been back with them? I can't even remember off the top of my head.
But, he had a bit of a kind of underwhelming retirement run, didn't he? I think physically he was probably about done, to be honest. But he's been one of the absolute greatest, hasn't he? And when you think that he didn't even start as a wrestler as well, it's pretty incredible, really. How he got across, not just kind of in-ring talent, but his character work as well. I'd be another one that I'd be fascinated to hear is Q&A as well. That's another thing about this event that I kind of have to cover every single time. We know it's expensive to meet some of these wrestlers, but you know, you buy a ticket and just, even if you decide to only meet one or two, you just base yourself there and listen to most of these Q&As, that's going to be, you know, worth £20, £25, £30, whatever it is, of anybody's money. We're going to split them across the 2 days. So I always say to people, get the weekend ticket, and you know, you're going to see some fabulous Q&As across the 2 days.
I couldn't believe how in depth they were at the first one, mate. I thought, you know, it would be a token gesture and worth every penny. Don't get me wrong, even if it was going to be a token gesture, maybe sort of 5, 10, 15 minutes with each guest in the ring having a bit of chat. They're full on Q&As. This is what people who haven't been to the first one don't appreciate, how much there is to do for the entry price. Whether it's doing things like going to see the stages and the setups and taking photos in the sets, whether it's just generally wandering around the vendors and seeing who's got what for sale, whether it's going to the exhibitors, such as James, such as ourselves at Grapple Arcade, such as looking at every single piece of merchandise in different people's collections over years gone by. There's so much to do, but then on top of all that, you get an entire day's worth, pretty much, of Q&As with almost every guest who's announced.
Yeah, it's
incredible.
Yeah, we had, I think Kenny's going to work with us again from Inside the Ropes as a host. That'll certainly be the case. People have probably noticed that he's put out Kenny Omega at the same time, so that was something that we were working on together again. He's going to do a couple of dates. I think it might be either side of our show or after it, I can't remember, but you know, he really knows his wrestling. And you find a lot of the wrestlers, there'll be odd one or two, you know, I don't know how, again, I might be completely wrong, I don't know how personable someone like Scott Steiner is going to be and how much he really fancies talking about his wrestling career. He might love it, but I found that like 80-90% of the wrestlers there, they actually appreciate it. A lot of these guys are long retired, and you know, they're no longer getting that buzz, they're no longer coming out from those live crowds. So to actually, it may be something that happens when you get a little bit older, but to actually go in front of hundreds and thousands of people that really appreciated them during the time and actually talk about their careers is something they very much enjoy, because it's done in such a respectful way. The people that are there are fans of theirs. The people that are asking the questions are fans of theirs. So I think they really appreciate that. And lots of them, you know, were really happy to have, like say, long Q&As, 25, 30 minutes. Someone like Flair, one of the greatest of all time, has done two Q&As over that weekend. We stuck him in the WCW one, where he was having so much fun. I mean, I can't repeat some of the stuff he was saying about Kevin Nash. I think I can, actually. He made some comment about it's still the same with big sexy girls, something like they've got to be under 25 and two at a time. So he was loving life, and was more than happy to do a Q&A by himself as well. So, you know, he was actually, and it's something that you could say, in a weird way, it sort of cost the organiser money, because rather than them being sat at the table taking autographs and photographs to go towards their guarantee, they're on stage talking. But I think it's just such an integral part of the show, and really just makes it just unbelievable value.
And I think, as you said before there, mate, that they appreciate it as well. I can definitely hold testament to that. We had Sid on our Turnchuckle podcast, what was it, a few weeks ago now, and he spoke very positively about his experience at For the Love of Wrestling the first time around, and thoroughly enjoyed being able to interact with the fans, because there was times, even just before, you know, the stage that you had that they came through on to go into the ring to do the Q&A. Well, at the back of that stage there, the wrestlers were obviously hanging tight until they were announced to come through. Now, that was all last year, like last time around, that was all open. I keep saying last year, sorry. It was this year. That's how incredible.
I know, I didn't say, yeah.
Back in April. That was all kind of open to the public to be able to walk up to the guardrail and have a bit chat with the wrestlers in question. And Sid was, he nearly missed his cue because he was in such really fun conversations with so many people at the back there.
Yeah.
At one point we were chatting to him about sausages. You know what I mean? It was just, you can just go off on a tangent with people. And he's just having crack. He doesn't mind at all. He's having a good bit of banter. And yeah, he for one said that he loved every single part of that Q&A experience. And I personally, I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, you've heard some of the bits before. If you're avid fans of these wrestlers, and you know some of the questions might be similar questions that you've heard before, but there's so much stuff that they covered that I personally hadn't heard before. And the beauty is, it does tend to go out into questions from the fans as well. It's not just the in-ring questions. There's an opportunity to raise hands and ask questions. Is that still a potential for the second one as well, Jason?
Oh yeah, that'll absolutely be the case again. I mean, you know, because you've done an interview with Sid. He doesn't have a mobile phone. He doesn't really have an email address. You know, he just has a landline. He's just a very
it's hard work.
he's a traditional sort of guy, and he did. He brought up how he was known for cancelling events, and you know, Andy put so much work into like building his trust, speaking to him regularly, agreeing a fee that he was happy with, and that's another. Let's be quite honest about it. Another reason some of the wrestlers are so happy about it is they walked away with an absolute ton of money. You know, in a lot of cases they have like a certain guarantee, and then they make more on the day, and because of how busy it was, you know, a lot of these guys have made an absolute fortune, so they're obviously going to be pretty delighted with that. And Sid was flown in, you know, the bigger guys were flown in business class, because you can't really put a 6'10", 6'11" man in, you know, in economy or premium economy. That just, you know, extra leg room doesn't really help when you're that big, does it? So, you know, they've just been properly looked after. The hotels were good. The experience with them, I think, was really, really, it was really, really smooth. Even everything down to the green room, the volunteers that we had. And you need that reputation, because I know I've mentioned this on your podcast and others in the past. Some of these guys have in the past been, you know, sort of screwed over out of a few quid. Yeah. And some of them have got their guard up a little bit. And now, you know, one of the guys actually that we signed recently, you know, the other half of this tag team I spoke about, they were against someone that was maybe a little bit sceptical about these kind of events, but we could show who we signed up last year, who we've got this year. You can send videos from last year, you can send pictures, you can answer all their questions, and makes them really happy. And when you can say, yeah, we did year one, we got over Jericho, we got over Undertaker, we got over Ric Flair, we got over Bret Hart, plus, you know, 20 other guys, that gives you a lot of credibility.
Indeed, it really, really does. And it's the reputation that you've gained now as well. Everything went smoothly, everything was spot on, and everybody had a cracking time. It's just a really positive experience all around, and I'm sure the same will be to live again. Fly through these names, matey, because there's still tons to mention here. Lillian Garcia. We've got Mike Rotunda, otherwise known as IRS. I'm sure a lot of people will fully appreciate that, and obviously Wall Street as well. He'll be able to sign autographs and take photos with Ted DiBiase, who's back over, which is great to see, along with Jimmy Hart as well, to do some Money Inc. photos. Yep. We've got Rick and Scott Steiner, who, those two names alone, the fact that they can sign them as the Steiner brothers as well, amazing. We've got Scott Levy, otherwise known as Raven, and Johnny Polo. Raven was a guy who I've been trying to meet for ages. He was due to come to do a tour in the northeast of England, actually, about a year or so ago. For whatever reason, that was cancelled, and I think it was the promoter that messed that one up over here. So he didn't end up coming over, and a lot of people were devastated about that. So I'm glad he's coming, being able to come back over to come and meet fans again. Then we've got the likes of Tatanka, as you mentioned before, Tito Santana, Tori Wilson, Trish Stratus, Victoria. I mean, you're just spoiled for choice.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start my list of who to meet first. I don't know how to do it.
Remember, I said there's more to come.
There's
a lady to announce. There's another singles wrestler that got in touch with us recently, and then there's this big tag team, and then we're going to move into after that we're just going to hold off then until 2021, and we're just going to put out 2-3 big names that will hopefully get people very, very excited, and then that's us for 2020. We'll then just complete a flyer and blast it out. You have to control yourself sometimes, because trust me, we could put 50 names on. We could keep going and going and going and going and going. There's so many people that we could be putting onto this show, and you just have to be realistic, because people have only got so much money. We've only got so much space. We did 25 last time. I think anything between 25 and 30 this time is going to be about perfect for us. And then we'll be looking again for 2021.
Well, that's the thing. You've got to be box clever with this kind of thing from your from a, from a booking and promoting point of view. And you are, obviously, so far. I think it's one of those things where people will start to question, okay, dare we ask, and it's not meant to sound crude at all, but how many names are realistically left? If you were to book everybody for one or two shows, if you're looking at the 80s and 90s superstars of yesteryear, you've got a certain span of talent, you know, to choose from, who are either A, thankfully still with us, and B, healthy enough to travel. Thankfully, there are still quite a lot of names out there, and the fact that you're advertising between 20 and 30 for each of your shows seems like the perfect sort of number, as you've stressed yourself there, because it still leaves opportunity for future events. And that's what we want. We want something which can keep going. As a fan who wants to keep coming to these events, I want to be able to, for that not just to be a couple of events, I want it to keep going as long as you guys can possibly put them on for.
Yeah, but what you can do then, you start to look at some of the doubles and some of the combinations. So, you know, we've done Undertaker in Liverpool, we've done Undertaker in Scotland just a couple of weeks ago, and we're doing Undertaker and Kane in Germany. Indeed. So that means we could do Undertaker and Kane at some point, or we could do Undertaker and Mick Foley, for argument's sake. We've done Edge at Liverpool Comic Con, we did Christian last year, we can still do Edge and Christian. You can still do you could do the New Age Outlaws with X-Pac and then do a bit of a D-Generation X reunion. There's still absolutely tons you can do. You know, you could still, we've done Bret Hart, but maybe you could do Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels and Earl Hebner together as a triple that no one ever thought would happen. This, you know, I'm making up a lot of these things, but there is so many names out there that you can do, and that will be the next stage. You just look at different combinations. You could do, there's the Hardy Boys. I just think there's so many out there. I think you can just keep going and going and going. I mean, we've got lots of names. One thing we haven't really looked at is more of the, you know, wrestlers that just recently left mainstream US TV. We could do your Damien Sandows, your Ryback, Wade Barrett. You know, there's a lot of those sort of names as well. So
there really is, and a lot of whom are pretty still relevant, if you like. You know, I mean, in the sense of you've got more than just WWE at your disposal. You've got, as we've obviously already mentioned, AEW there. We've got NWA with their newest product that they're showing at the moment. There's a lot of opportunity, as you say. We're really excited to see where we're going to go with this one. The names that you've mentioned so far are fantastic. Is there any other information you can share with us about what to expect on the day, other than the guest set, such as the sets and designs? Has anything like that been announced, Jason?
Well, it's more very much kind of evolution, I suppose. So it's going to be everything that you saw last year is going to come back. There will be, in terms of improvements, where we've listened to feedback and areas that we knew we would be able to improve a little bit on this year's event, I think there's going to be more traders. There'll be more of them that are aware of the show. So I think there's a company who calls it Toys and Masks or something that have been in touch. And so I definitely think there'll be more of those. We're putting on this UK wrestling area. It's where we're going to get, it depends who wants to come to it, but 10, 15, 20 maybe of local wrestling promotions that are going to come, have a stall where they can sell their merch, talk about their events coming up. So we're definitely going to have that as well, which is an added area. Prop builds, we're going to do those again. There'll be some new prop builds a little bit closer to the time. Just got to figure out some of the best ones. I'm pretty sure there'll be a Firefly Funhouse, maybe an entrance set. I think the format will keep fairly similar. We're doing the Friday Night Wrestling this time as well, which we're doing in conjunction with TNT, which is going to be more of an adult 18 plus show, more of a sort of extreme wrestling. I don't mean like the kind of garbage wrestling, but it'll be more of an adult show that we'll be doing on Friday. Something else which we didn't really do last year, because we were working Fight TV, who were broadcasting it, we had to be very careful about rights over kind of wrestlers' entrance music. So I think we can make a bit more of a thing about entrances this time in terms of music, maybe even a little bit of pyro, don't hold me to that, but more lighting shows. So I definitely think we'll probably do a little bit more with the production this time as well.
Excellent.
So yeah, I'd say it's everything that went so well in 2019, we want to bring back. We want Europe's Home of Wrestling belts.
Your Good Selves, that was really popular. The other arcade games were popular. You know, Jay with his old school wrestling collection. All that sort of stuff we definitely want to get back. And then it's just a case of, yeah, just sort of sexing up some of the other areas, I suppose.
Brilliant stuff, mate. Well, we're all high looking forward to it at this end. We can't wait for it. We really can't wait for it, man. Really looking forward to it. It's been an absolute pleasure getting you back on the show, Jason. And for everybody who's listening there, get themselves onto fortheloveofwrestling.co.uk. They can go and check out the WWE Superstar signing event and also the For the Love of Wrestling 2 event coming in April next year. Thanks again, Jason, mate.
Good to chat to you. Really good to talk to you, mate.
All the best, man. Thanks again, dude.